Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 1st, the year of our Lord, 2026. This is the second Sunday in Lent. Lenten blessings to you. I pray you are well, and however it is you are living into these days of Lent, I encourage you to keep at it. And let's just jump in to the way we do things around here. The begin as we begin with a big, deep breath. Join me in taking a big breath. Hold on to that breath. Savor that breath. It's a gift. And let go of it. Taking another one. And hold on to that one as well. And then let go. And with this relaxed way of breathing, call to mind the things that are good and true and worthy and lovely. Think about the fact that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and with that in mind, give thanks to God for all that is good. Call to mind the things in your life that light you up inside, the people and the places, the opportunities, the situations that bring you great joy. Imagine the faces, see the places. And with these things in mind, give thanks to God for all of it. Perhaps open your arms out wide and your hands wide open. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship.
Opening prayer. God of the covenant, in the glory of the cross, your Son embraced the power of death and broke its hold over your people. In this time of repentance, draw all people to yourself, that we who confess Jesus as Lord may put aside the deeds of death and accept the life of your kingdom. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 1. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, and God saw that it was good. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good.
Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we call to you and we give you thanks. You're so very grateful for the gift of this, your good and living word. A word that abides with us, counsels us, challenges us, encourages us to seek your face and to live into your will. And so we ask, O God, that in this moment you would come alongside us and you'd help us to be still and focused, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what you're saying to each and every one of us as individuals and as your church. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the podcast our good friend Bill Cutler. You actually heard Bill in a representation last week, and so it was so good we thought we'd have him back again, this time in the current season with a fresh message. He'll be reflecting on passages from the book of Genesis and offering us a message titled Paint the Town. And so without further ado, our good friend Bill Cutler.
If you've been part of our church for a few years, I assume that you knew Becky Stewart. And for those who are newer to the church and don't know of her, Becky passed away last year, but she'd been an enthusiastic long-term member who loved this church, loved Jesus, and loved painting. Her career had been in computer science, but her heart was in painting. And she was an accomplished artist who especially loved painting stunningly beautiful florals and portraits. She normally didn't get into abstracts, but one of her last major projects was to paint 7 abstract paintings to depict the seasons of the traditional church year. And those paintings are now displayed in our sanctuary. Well, about 7 years ago, Becky offered painting lessons, and I decided to try it. And Becky was an enthusiastic teacher, and she encouraged me far more than my efforts merited, but her encouragement worked, and I attempted several paintings, including some of our sunsets, our birds, and our beach. And then 2 years ago, Kathy and I went to Paris, where I got to watch street artists, and they could paint beautiful portraits and landscapes in a matter of minutes, while bundled up in jackets and gloves because it was cold. Yet in the cold, in a matter of minutes, they could paint great portraits of any tourist who sat for them. And I was greatly impressed, and apparently also greatly intimidated, since when I came home, I didn't get out my paints for well over a year. But I'm trying to get going again. And I've been experimenting with acrylic pours, which is a process of mixing various colors and pouring them on a canvas and twisting and turning the canvas so that the paint flows in random patterns. And people use a variety of tools as well to make different effects, glue, water, string, marbles, hair dryers, balloons, spatulas, leaves, fingers, aluminum foil, spoons, they're all included in the toolbox. And experienced acrylic pourers often have an idea of what the final product will look like, but there's still a factor of randomness that means one never knows for sure what will result. But it's fun to pour out the paint and see what develops. The Bible often celebrates God as a creator and a designer. And Genesis 1 is the most famous account as it describes God creating beauty and order out of chaos. That creation poem is structured around 6 days, and after each day comes the refrain, "It was good." And Psalm 104 describes God both as an architect and as a fashion designer when we read that the Lord set the earth on its foundations. You covered it with watery depths as with a garment. Now, none of the biblical writers specifically described God as a painter. But if they had, I wonder if God would be into detailed, almost photographic landscapes with fine detail, or more into acrylic pores, which flow and morph into designs that are not predictable, yet are beautiful. Theologically, that raises questions about whether God has a definite predestined plan for each of us, or whether, like in a poured painting, we have free will to twist and turn the canvases of our life in ways that are not predetermined. And I'm not going to attempt to answer that question, but it gets me thinking that maybe God relates to us like Becky related to me. Like Becky, God sets us up with some paint, some brushes, a canvas, and says, "Okay, here's what you have to work with. Now paint, and let's see what happens." And this process of painting our lives is an ongoing reality for all of us. Among the colors that God pours out upon us and the world to work with are love, and justice, and beauty. Our role is to take these colors and paint with them as we go about our lives. I'm assuming that you've heard the phrase, "paint the town red." It's a shorthand way of to say, go through a town partying, drinking, and dancing. And the website No Sweats Shakespeare, which I guess is authoritative, says that, quote, "the exact origins of the phrase to paint the town red are debated, but a common theory traces it back to April 6, 1837, when a young man named Harry Beresford, an Irish aristocrat notorious for his wild behavior and rowdy friends, had a wild night of rioting through an English town, where they came upon pots of red paint and quite literally painted doors and buildings and signs red." Well, I believe that God calls us to be out and about painting the town too. But unlike the riotous vandalism of Mr. Beresford, we're to paint the town with the colors of love and justice and kindness and grace and goodness. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came into that wedding at Cana, and he painted it with joy as he provided the wine needed for the party to go on. And when Jesus saw the blind man, he used the colors of light and kindness to allow him to see. And when the crowds before him were hungry, he used the colors of grace and compassion to provide food for them. And as he saw the corruption and injustice that oppressed and exploited people, he took out the colors of justice and liberation to paint pictures of freedom. And as he confronted the depth of human sin, he gave up all he was and all he had so that he could rise again to create an entirely new canvas on which we are all to paint. Jesus told his followers then and now, "Well, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Love each other as I have loved you. Go and do likewise." And so, using the metaphor of painting, we're to paint the world with the same colors that he did. And so, we need to paint. Our world deeply needs us to follow Jesus by being the artists that God has called us to be. In January, I listened to a sermon by Pope Leo in which he prayed for the world. And it was heartbreaking to listen as he prayed for all the peoples in the world whose current experience is that life is bleak and gray. He prayed for Russia, for Ukraine, for Sudan, Nigeria, Gaza, Israel, Venezuela, the United States, Myanmar, Iran, North Korea, and China, all places that are in some state of chaos and spiritual darkness. I've already mentioned the creation story in Genesis 1, but the Pope's message reminded me of it in a different way. While the work of God in creation is repeatedly described as "it was good," remember that the opening words of Genesis states that in the beginning, the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Pope Leo's prayer acknowledged the emptiness and the darkness that so many people face today. But in Genesis 1, in that formless and dark void, God, the artist, began to paint. He painted daylight and nighttime, and it was good. He painted the sky and the waters, and it was good. He painted the land and the oceans, and it was good. He painted trees and all types of vegetation, and it was good. He painted the sun and the moon and the stars, and it was good. He painted birds and fish, and it was good. And then he painted people and a garden, and it was very good. And it was to these people that he said, "Now you paint." Or using the words of Genesis 2, verse 15, he called them, "Till the garden, steward the garden, take care of it." Well, as the Pope's prayer expressed, and we all know, we live in a time when many people feel that life is chaotic and formless, like we're all stumbling around in the dark, like the weeds have completely taken over the garden. Warehouses are being transformed into massive detention centers where people, including children, are held indefinitely. Recently, threats of using the military to take over Greenland. The reports on the Epstein files of wealthy, powerful men and women around the world involved in a network of child sex trafficking. State funds earmarked for health care being funneled into partisan political ads. A Gulf Breeze friend of mine getting an email saying that he should be beaten with a bat wrapped in barbed wire because of his political affiliation. The cruelty, the abuse of power, the disregard of basic human rights, it's all paralyzing. And it's no wonder that I, and maybe you, feel sometimes like giving into depression or apathy or cynicism. It all seems darkness and void. But it's into the darkness of the void that we are called to follow Jesus and paint the colors of love and grace and justice and hope. And I hear about the hundreds of ministers and priests from all over the country who rallied in Minneapolis last month to work and speak against the shooting of Renee Good and Alex Pretty. And I think, that's good painting. That's light in the darkness. And I hear about a church in Pensacola with a ministry to former prisoners where these men are coming to faith in Christ and finding community in the church. And I think, that's good painting. That's light in the darkness. And as I watch as thousands of people in communities from Texas to Washington, D.C. gather to be with a group of Buddhist monks who walk 2,300 miles from Texas to Washington to witness to compassion and peace. And while they represent a different tradition, it sure looks like they are painting with the same colors that Jesus did. And I think that's light in the darkness. And in January, I attended a small church in Lewiston, Maine that I used to be part of, which has a 25-year-plus history of caring for the Somali and Congolese immigrants who live in that town. And I hear their prayers, and I see their actions of caring for their neighbors who, because of ICE, are afraid to leave their homes to go grocery shopping or to the laundromat to wash their clothes. And I think, that's good painting. That's light in the darkness. And last Saturday, I joined with 8 others from here to volunteer at the Interfaith Ministries thrift store, which provides resources for low-income residents in Santa Rosa County. And I think, that's good painting. That's light in the darkness. And I know that each Monday morning, a small group gathers here to pray for our church and our community. And I think, that's good painting. That's light in the darkness. And I attend the protests in Pensacola, where I meet good-hearted people who want the abuses of ICE and the erosion of our democracy to stop. And some of them carry signs with scripture verses like, "As you did to the least of these, so you did to me," or "You shall love your neighbor," or "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born." And I think, that's good painting. That's light in the darkness. All these very different stories remind me that in Christ, God gives us the bright, beautiful colors of love and peace and joy and kindness and goodness and patience and gentleness and justice and mercy. And it's with those colors that God wants us to paint the town. We need to pull out those paints and get to work. The Holy Spirit has given us a rich, well-supplied art store at our disposal. And we, with our different contexts and different opportunities and different abilities, we get to take those colors and paint. How might you do so? Well, just look around. Our families, our communities, our church, our politics are all canvases on which we can paint. Just look around. And to paraphrase the prayer of St. Francis, where you see hatred, may you paint love. Where you see injury, may you paint forgiveness. Where you see doubt, may you paint faith. Where you see despair, may you paint hope. Where you see darkness, may you paint light. And where you see sadness, may you paint joy. I'm not very good at painting, but when I was with Becky, she kept spurring me on. I'd bring small canvases to paint, but she'd push me to take on ones that were 2 by 3 feet. And I'd try to work with a small brush so I wouldn't mess up much, but she'd hand me a wide brush and set me at it. And so may the Holy Spirit be like Becky to you and to me. May the Spirit nudge you to use the paints of love and goodness, to pour them, to spray them, to sprinkle them, to brush them, or just use your hands, but color your world with those paints. So later today, if someone asks you what you heard at church today, tell them the preacher told you to go out and paint the town. Paint the town and everywhere you are with the colors of God's love and justice and grace. That'll make for some beautiful art. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We gather in your presence and in your name, and God, we confess that we come as a frail and vulnerable people, as those in need of repentance and forgiveness. And we're particularly mindful of that in this season of Lent. And we confess to you, O God, the ways that we get it wrong, the ways we run from your embrace and your counsel, the words that we regret speaking, the actions that we've taken, and of course the times when we didn't speak or that we didn't act, God. We name those before you. We come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts. We come to you in all vulnerability and we confess these things. And we do so inspired by the promise that when we come to you in all honesty and confess these things, that you forgive us and you prop us up and you offer us your grace. And we thank you for that gift. And in that spirit, then, we feel led, God, to pray over this, your good world. And in the midst of this goodness, God, there seems to be an abundance of chaos and violence, wars and rumors of wars. And we ask, God, that you would walk the corridors of power, that you would convict people in positions of power and influence, show them exactly the consequence of their actions and inactions, remind them of who you are. Open minds, soften hearts, we pray. And we pray, O God, for ordinary people, folks all around the world are just trying to live their lives, take care of their families, kids just trying to make their way through school and make it through another day. And we pray, God, that you would fill empty stomachs, that you would calm fear, that those who find themselves in various forms of need would have those needs met, and that those who seek to serve in this body of Christ, your church, would be out actively addressing the needs of the world in your name. God, you know us. You know our individual challenges and struggles. We offer these things to you. And in that spirit, many of us keep prayer lists. Either we write them down or we just write them on our hearts and we ruminate them on them throughout the day or in the middle of the night. But we take a moment in this time of prayer, God, to quietly and reverently share these lists with you, knowing that as we do so, others, brothers and sisters, are doing the same thing. That there is a solidarity in our praying. And so we pray this. We'd ask simply that you'd meet us here. As we make silent space, God, come alongside us. Assure us that you've heard our prayers and are offering us answers. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we celebrate a prayer that you taught your first disciples, and we've received it as an inheritance. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, I pray that as we go our separate ways this day, we will do so with assurance that God is with us, blessed in the knowledge that God is for us, and that our God is ahead of us, encouraging us, calling us toward himself. Our God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who calls your name and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.